So, Bryn, I'll confess, I can't quite remember how I ended the original recording. So if I need to put an ending in, I'm just going to record something now. And obviously you'll edit it. But let's see. And welcome to another wonderful episode of Somewhere in Between, the Early Careers GP podcast brought to you by the RCGP. I'm Mira, and I'm back for this slightly different episode where unfortunately you won't hear all the other lovely voices of my usual co-hosts, but we wanted to bring you a slightly different episode today where earlier in the week I had a chat with our AIT co-chairs Julia and Harry to see how they had been getting on in their new role. Well, not so new role, halfway through their role, the challenges and the opportunities that they've had, and also what their hope is for trainees and early career GPs for the future. So sit back, relax, and let's hear what Julia and Harry have to say. Hello, everyone. It's Mira here, and I'm delighted to be joined by our AIT co-chairs, Julia and Harry, who have done a long day at work and a bedtime routine and are joining me. So diligent in their duties, but really, really excited to have them on board. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hello. Hi, you're right. I'm Mira. Thanks for having us.
Oh, our pleasure. So we really just wanted to catch up with Julia and Harry. They obviously took up their post as AIT co-chairs in November. So it's been a few months since we've spoken to them. I'm sure a lot has gone on, and we're really interested to kind of hear about what they've been up to, any updates they may have for trainees, and also what kind of work that they've been getting involved with and how they're finding that. So I guess I'll start with you, Julia. How's it been going for the last few months, AIT co-chair and working in A&E and all of those things?
Oh, wow. It has definitely been a juggling act. I mean, it definitely feels like, you know, there's been lots to kind of keep on top of simultaneously. It has definitely felt like a bit of a mini added job to like the kind of trainee job as well. So definitely interesting, fascinating, but also, you know, challenging, and has definitely required me to dig deep into sort of time management skills to feel like I can stay on top of all of the meetings that we need to attend, all of the papers we need to read, all of the sort of policies and ideas that we need to sort of input in, but also kind of trying to really keep a conversation going between ourselves and other trainees to feel like we're keeping abreast really with trainee concerns, expectations, ideas, etc. So yeah, it's been busy in a nutshell.
Absolutely. And I guess the same question for you, Harry. I wonder how have you found taking on the role? Has it sort of met up with the expectations that you had, or has it been a totally different ball game for you?
Yeah, no. So it's a really good question. I think it's a lot of things kind of expected. So, you know, we've met obviously some fantastic people in the college. We've met some really interesting people with, you know, some really great ideas about how they feel about GP practice and GP training, and kind of the future of general practice as well. So there've been some really interesting conversations, and being part of council and meeting people through that that way has been really cool as well. We've met some great trainees as well, some fantastic people that we've met who, you know, really bringing all the things that are happening in their region and all the things that they've found are going really well, and then the things that have been more challenging. And we've been able to feed that back to the council as well, and to pass that on. And I think people have really appreciated that. So I think it's just been great kind of sharing trainees' experiences and talking about that. So we've really enjoyed that part of the job. I think things that have been maybe things we weren't necessarily expecting, or there were some other things. I think, yeah, Julie mentioned about time management and things like that, which was really good. And I think we're getting the hang of it as well. And keeping on top of, yeah, reading and keeping in touch with people and making sure we're, I've been enjoying it, definitely. I've been really loving the role. I think it's been going really well.
I mean, that's so great to hear. And I think, obviously, you are sort of at the halfway point, I guess, of of this year-long role so far. What do you think the biggest challenge has been for you guys in this role, or what do you see going forwards? Because obviously I appreciate being a trainee has been really difficult. I think it's been difficult for a long time, but especially because of the pandemic. And you've definitely done a great job in keeping in touch with the network reps, trying to find out, have a great picture of what is going around the country. You mentioned, Harry, you know, some really great work happening for trainees all across the board, but it is sometimes difficult to get that message across and for people to find out at the heart of it, what are we doing and is there a trainee network and what's going on? So I guess from a challenge perspective, it'd be really interesting to know, what do you guys think trainees are sort of facing in terms of challenge?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Mira. Do you know what, to be honest with you, I think it has been a challenging time to be a GP trainee, isn't it? Like all around. I think we can all recognize that because of external factors that are out of our control that are affecting primary care or general practice in a broader sense at the moment. It has felt like a more stressful time maybe to be a GP trainee and a time where perhaps we have lacked maybe that sense of supervision or close supervision or mentorship that perhaps, you know, we were expecting. But also, you know, things have maybe had to change in terms of people's placements, et cetera, in view of the pandemic. And then also the modes of consultation, we're maybe doing a lot more sort of video or, you know, non-face-to-face consultations than we might have expected initially. So there's been that to adjust in terms of trainees' expectations. So I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges. It's really trainees readjusting their expectations of what the training program is actually going to be like, how it's going to be structured, how they're going to be supervised, how much remote consulting they're going to have to do. So those type of sort of logistical challenges have definitely felt really present. But then there have been, like, I think, broader kind of existential challenges, I think, in terms of, you know, what it means to be a GP in the UK at the moment and in the near future, and how are we as trainees and as future, you know, kind of early career GPs going to fit into all of that. And I think speaking to a lot of trainees, there definitely seems to be, you know, anxiety about what the future holds. And I think that's completely understandable. You know, a lot of change is underway and we don't know how much of that is going to go in our favor. And so I feel like our role has been really about being a voice for trainees in those conversations, in those rooms where we feel like we can affect even a tiny bit of change. Because to be honest, you know, we're not the change makers yet, but we need to start paving our way to be able to really create the environment in which we want to work and we want to thrive as general practitioners. So yeah, it's been really hard. I think achieving that in a very short time frame. I mean, you say it's been 5 months already, which has already blown my mind, because I'm like, how has it been 5 months already? And so it just makes you realize that, like, the time is flying and actually this role is big, but you have a very, very limited amount of time to make an impact and to kind of achieve everything you want to achieve. So I think the challenge also is about being realistic, about accepting small wins and kind of striving towards that. So I don't know if I've answered your question directly, but all that to say, I think yeah, there are small and big challenges right now facing trainees, and these just can't be underestimating. There's a lot of work to be done.
You definitely answered my question and far more eloquently than I could ever put into words. I, you know, that sort of thought of we're facing challenges big and small, I think that will resonate with so many people who are listening. And you know, really great that you brought in about early career GPs, because you're right. I think sometimes there is this mentality of trainees and then the next block is early careers. And then there's, you know, people who may be in council who have been GPs for years and years and years or have other roles and they're in these leadership. But actually, it's a continuum of a spectrum, yeah, isn't it? And we all our voices are so important because we're feeding into future work and what's going to be happening. And as you said, are we the change makers? Perhaps not right in terms of policy making, but we're definitely feeding into those views. And that's why it's so important to have a representative sample of trainee and early career thoughts across the nation, because that's going to affect the change in the shape of training. Lots of people who are listening will be really interested in, you know, being involved in leadership and management, or being involved in education, or, you know, being a rep for their VTS or whatever else it might be. I guess, Harry, what I wanted to ask you is for those who are listening who are like, oh, well, obviously, G and Harry are doing a job that I definitely wouldn't have the time or mental space to do, but I would really want to get involved or find out a bit more about the work that you guys in the committee do. How do they do that? How do they access that? You know, they've got a 14 fish login and that's about it. What do they do?
Well, that's, I mean, firstly, fantastic. Our email address, we can get that sent out as well. If you do want to be involved, if you've got views that you want to be made known, if you've got ideas that you want to share, if you've got thoughts that you think, you know, you've seen something work, or you've got an idea that you want to bring to the table, then please do get in touch. We'd love that. And I think the other thing is to say, you know, if you're an ST1 who has just started in February, which is, you know, at this time last year, I was, what is it? It's April now. So I was 2 months into my GP training this time last year. So if you are interested in getting involved, you know, you can start local. You can look at, there's lots of different ways you can get involved and represent your fellow trainees. You could look at being involved with the AIT committee. You could volunteer from that perspective, so you can get in touch with whoever's in your local area, whether that's with your faculty or whether that's directly with the college. So that there are loads and loads of ways to get involved. And what I would say is that your voice is really important. And if you haven't had that experience yet, then this is the time to start, because you will be able to, you know, you'll find your confidence, you'll find your ability to make your voice heard. And just, you know, try out. What's the worst that could happen? You should, you know, go for it. I think that's what I'd say. There's literally the worst, there's nothing bad that could happen. The best thing that can come out of this is, you know, you'll grow in your confidence and you'll really have an opportunity to make a difference. So yeah, if you're teetering on the edge, if you're thinking, oh, maybe you're not, I wouldn't be able to do that, then I'd say throw yourself into it, see how you go. Get in touch with your faculty, email us, get in touch with the AIT network, and we'd be more than happy to have you on board.
And that's, I think those are really, really wise words. You're absolutely right, because I think there is this momentum where there will be such great work that are done by, you know, a few trainees that started maybe in ST1 and now in ST3 or even ST4 because they've taken a break or fellowships and come back, but they'll be leaving soon. And we need that ongoing continuity, because you guys have taken over. And at some point, I know it's only been 5 months, Julia, so you've got some time yet still to go. It'll freak you out. But there will be a point where you're ready to pass over that mantle as well. And you want the work to, you know, continue, but be built on. And you also mentioned, you know, local, regional, national, there are all these different levels that where people can get involved with. And it's about, it sounds so cliche, isn't it? Networking gets you everywhere. But it actually, what it does is it puts you in touch and allows you to meet people who are doing such great work for primary care in general, and probably in areas that you wouldn't know where schemes may exist. So it's really important as a VTS, I think, to engage with your other local VTS groups as well, what might be going on in potentially the charity sector or something else that might be really interesting to you, because, you know, being an AIT chair might not be your bag. But as you say, we've all got to start somewhere and get involved. And I suppose the other thing that is coming up that trainees should know about, and hopefully they have because of all the RCGP push out of it, is the conference that's coming up. Definitely. That's probably going to be a hot hub of like-minded people listening about cutting edge of what's happening in primary care, but also acknowledging the challenges that we are facing as a profession, I think. So I think the conference is definitely one to be looking out for. I guess, Julia, I kind of wanted to ask you, in terms of, at the moment, with all the work that's been happening over the 5 months, is there anything sort of college work-wise that you wanted trainees to be aware of, or maybe what's coming up in the pipeline? Are there sort of, you know, the highlights, I guess, if you will?
Yeah, absolutely. And there is actually a lot going on behind the scenes, to be frank, loads of really exciting things, which is, it has been amazing to see that. And really encouraging, actually, because I think from a training perspective, sometimes the RCGP feels like you're not quite sure what do they do other than providing us with a portfolio and exams every now and again. So for us, it's been absolutely eye-opening, really, to understand all of the mechanisms in the background and the things that they're passionate about and the priorities that they set to focus on over the next few years. And within that, I think some of the key sort of activities I think particularly resonate with the training experience. I would say the first one is there's a lot of work going on looking at what they're calling sort of membership value proposition. So the RCGP has conducted some, pretty detailed research actually, and identified that there is a significant loss in membership that occurs in the first 5 years post CCT. So your kind of early career GPs, once they achieve their CCT after training, they just leave the college and it's really hard to get them back. So they've obviously worked out that they need to address that as an issue. And the best way to address that is really to start whilst they are, members are training, are still in training. So really that's led to the question, how can the college engage with its trainees better? What are the issues that we don't understand? How can we present ourselves as a college to trainees so they understand that we are here to journey with them along, throughout their career? And how can we actually present membership to them as something that is valuable? And so within that, we've been involved in lots of conversations, highlighting some frustrations that trainees have with the college, and also, trying to think creatively about how the college can be more enticing, more, attractive to trainees. So I think that's something that's huge. I am so keen to hear from any trainees who feel like they have ideas about how to improve that experience as a trainee interacting with the college. But some of the work that's going on at the moment is definitely looking at things like, celebrating training achievement better, having better communication streams between the college and the trainee. So, trainees are better updated on things like what to expect from the college at each stage of their training, regular reminders about exams and how to book. So that sort of, facilitating the kind of, key achievements that you have to sort of meet as a trainee. But also kind of thinking wider about the offer within that membership. So lots of things going on in the background. But that's definitely something that I think trainees could get in touch about. The other thing that I would flag as well that I've been really excited about is two more things. Important as well is actually the new exam that's been developed. Yeah. That's due to replace the RCA. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely in the pipeline, and a lot of work is going on there. And soon there should be opportunities for a piloting phase. And I think that will be an amazing opportunity for interested trainees to be involved, to really, help develop, what is set to be kind of the biggest exam overhaul the RCGP has seen in recent times. So, mm-hmm. And finally, the last thing is the college is also really thinking about decolonizing the curriculum. What does that mean, really? That's really about thinking about how to practice general practice in the UK with a sense of cultural competence and sort of equality at the forefront. So these are really interesting and intricate conversations, but again, something that that to me shows the college is forward thinking and that there's a real opportunity actually for early career GPs to really be involved in these conversations, because to be honest, we're actually, I think, best placed to shape these three areas really that I've mentioned. So yeah, lots going on and happy to chat more about all of these. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think you've hit upon, three big things that are in one way or another really focused on sort of that trainee experience. Mm-hmm. Obviously, exams are always going to come up. They have been a hot topic for a number of years, even pre-COVID. And I know your predecessors have also had, a lot of difficult conversations trying to be the conduit between college and trainees, whilst also being a trainee yourself. So actually the rigors of the portfolio, you know, you're not exempted from doing those things either. So, you know,
sadly, it isn't.
No, exactly. And, as you know, at the moment I am in the last 2 weeks pre-submitting for RCA. And it's so funny because when we started this podcast, it was the CSA, you know, that was the thing. And there was revision groups and all those things. And I saw, you know, the people in the years above me doing that. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And then it changed in the blink of an eye because the college had to respond to a global pandemic. And there was 1500 trainees ready to CCT, but with no exit exam, and a decision had to be made. And of course, in the way that these things will happen, things don't run smoothly. And there has been lots of bumps in the road. And I feel the college has acknowledged that to a degree. And there is an element of learning that happens along the way. And as you say, this is a really exciting opportunity where this exam is going to change. And obviously, there have been trainees that have been affected by the change already. And that will have had impacts on their training as well. But I think the college really want to create a validated exam that speaks to the experience that's relevant to trainees of now, because, you know, one could even argue the CSA in terms of how training is running now, how the world is working now, actually may not be the exact best format again. So I think you bring up some really important points about when they are wanting to pilot that, you know, information will be on the RCGP website, it will be passed along to reps and all of those things. It's important to be part of that conversation, because you want to, it might not be the exam that affects you, but will affect trainees who are, you know, waiting to catch up and be at that point. I wonder, Harry, in terms of dealing with trainees and their sort of frustrations with the college, because I guess there is one side of it, as you said, Julia, lots of people don't really know what the college is, apart from we pay a fee, we have to pay for the portfolio, we might get a couple of emails. And if you're not, you know, situated in London or part of your faculty and all of those other things, there is a frustration about exams or wherever else. How have you found handling that? How has that been for you?
That's a really good question. I think obviously I think partly in our training and, you know, as doctors, we want to fix things. So I think when people come to us with problems, we want to be able to fix them straight away. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the solutions are complicated. So people may have, you know, the solution might not be a quick fix, or the specific problem for one person will be, you know, you can try and help or fix one situation, but that might cause a problem for somebody else. So there's a bit of a balance that has to come into play. And I think it's been what we've really appreciated is just to be at the point where we can receive the feedback, and we can hear what people are going through and what they are struggling with. And when you are able to step in and kind of help and do something that's quite quick, or if there's something that someone hasn't identified before that's going on in the background, you can feed that back to the college. And, you know, the one thing I would say is that council have been so receptive to us, and the RCGP are so interested to know what trainees are going through, that they do have a real ear to trainees. And just because there may not be a really simple or easy quick fix, or that just because the problem is complicated, it doesn't mean that people don't want to know about it. And often, you know, when you hear lots of people saying the same thing, and you hear lots of people going through difficulty, it's great to be able to feed that back for people to then sit up and take notice and to start working through with those things. So, you know, I think it's tricky, but it, you know, it's exactly the role of a rep, and it's exactly what we're here to do. And so, yeah, I think, you know, I don't think enjoy is the right word, because you're hearing about people going through difficulty or challenge, or there's something that's really affecting them. And, you know, training is hard. We've talked about how hard it's been over the past couple of years. Sometimes the stress is around exams, and we all know what exams are like. We all know how hard it is when you're ready to sit, or if there's a problem or something gets in the way of your exam, or if there's anything going on. And when you're in that heightened state of, you know, you're prepared to do an examination, and there's a bump or a difficulty or a challenge that comes in the way, then that is an incredibly stressful situation. But we really hope that we're able to pass it on to the people who are able to be the change makers and make a difference.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the really interesting thing, I guess, is in your capacity as co-chairs, is about managing this on scale basis as well, isn't it? It is really difficult getting the views accurately, timely, representative are the key things that you want to do. And I suppose for any trainees who are out there listening going, oh, actually, I'm really not sure about this, or I really don't like the way my trainee does this, or it's about thinking in magnitudes of scale. And actually, where is the right level of support to go for at that time, and whether that is local, regional or national? And if you're finding lots of people are saying the same thing, probably it means that someone else, you know, in other parts of the country might also be saying the same things. And escalating that to you guys and to the rep network, or becoming a rep, means that your magnified voice carries a lot more weight and hopefully enables that change, I guess.
Precisely.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the truth is, anybody can be a representative. We're not doing anything, you know, particularly spectacular. All we're doing is trying to be honest about, you know, what others have flagged, or what other trainees are facing, what challenges they're facing, and just, you know, being truthful in our representation of that. But I think that does come with a challenge, because sometimes, you know, as a rep, you're kind of in the middle of, it feels sometimes like two opponents. I know that's probably not an accurate analogy, but, you know, on one hand, you have the RCGP that obviously expects us to act as a conduit to improve communication between the college and trainees, and so to sort of soften sometimes the information that needs to be passed on to trainees. But on the other hand, you know, you do have to have that sort of voice of an advocate for trainees, and kind of try to push the boundaries of it, and really kind of, you know, be that sort of, yeah, that voice that kind of tests the boundaries almost and says, no, we want more for trainees. So I think it's always challenging, like finding the right balance, knowing when to push and when to pull. But I honestly believe, like, absolutely anybody can do this, because one, you are a trainee, so you can be a trainee representative. You're literally one, you know, we're not external people trying to capture the voices of a situation that we know nothing about. We are actually also going through this process ourselves. So in that sense, I think anybody is capable of translating that experience and, you know, like also obviously gathering as many voices as they can around them, but that should be easier, because you're starting from a position of knowledge and kind of lived experience, I guess. This is really to encourage anybody listening out there who thinks, oh, should I not, you know, can't I, you can, basically, is the short answer, as long as obviously, you know, you are passionate about wanting to make a difference. I think that's all you need, really. And then you'll find your feet, you'll find your style and rhythm, and it's fine.
And I think there's definitely something to be said about not one size fits all. What you said is lived experience is so powerful, and it might be that you feel very strongly about one specific thing. And if you want to go and run with that, and you go, actually, I'm going to do a survey of the trainees here and I want to find out the results, that's going to make the reps' lives amazing. And, you know, you have information to then go and give to Julie and Harry that then can feed that back to the college and go, we've actually spoken to trainees about X or Y or whatever it is. Yeah. And even the next step from that is, what are the potential solutions? Because I think there is a lot about being in a rep role. Lots of people are shy or maybe reluctant to do it because they think, oh, people just moan at me all the time. I just hear about everything that's going wrong. But it's about looking at, and having done this for coming up to 3 years now, I think it's about, yes, definitely hearing about what's going wrong and flagging up when it's concerning and going, oh, you know, exams or whatever it is. But equally hearing about good practice, about, you know, experiences that are happening in other boroughs, why can't we adopt that here? Or is there a reason our program director can't, you know, maybe nick this idea or some, you know, good practice, which happens all across the NHS, but also problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
Discussing a problem and thinking about it on your own and getting really infuriated, or with your VTS group or whatever, and then bringing it on a bigger scale and going, but this could be a solution, we had this problem, and having that discussion. And I wonder, having some of those really good discussions that you're having in your network meetings with the AIT reps, we're finding a lot of variety across the country.
Yeah.
Everyone sees the same portfolio, everyone sees the same curriculum, but they have different experiences of it. So I think that's a really powerful message. I am very mindful that you've had a very, very busy evening. So I suppose I kind of want to round off and ask this question is, you've got, you know, another 5-6 months ahead of you, sort of in this role. And we will definitely be doing a check-in with you when you're closer to the end as well. We can reflect back and see what you guys have said. I'm not holding you to anything you said. Don't worry. It's not like it's, you know, that old.
Payback quotes to us.
Oh, no, don't worry. In our New Year's episode this year, I spoke to Chrissy Wellington, who's the Parkrun ambassador and works with, and who's the partner of the RCGP, and I promised I'd be doing a Parkrun. So Johannes, one of our other hosts, is constantly texting me like, how's that run going? I'm like,
whereabouts? Where are you aiming to do it?
I mean, to be honest, Harriet, as long as I can, you know, not die doing it anymore, will be a bonus. Currently, I'm very much doing it in the treadmill that's in the gym.
Nice.
And in and around sort of sub 3K around Greenwich. But I'm getting there. So slow and steady. But again, as I said, don't worry, I'm not going to be holding you to it. So I guess the last question to the both of you is, looking forwards, what are the sort of key goals or things that you're wanting to do whilst you're you know, in this very coveted role?
It's a very good question. So I think we, you know, we've had some great discussions with some great people, and we've met some great people across the college. I think one of the things that does kind of come back is kind of this idea of like the college and the trainee. And if I mean, one thing that I'd kind of like to be involved with a bit more, you know, using the time that we have left, is kind of building that communication a bit more, and finding a way that trainees in the college can feel a bit closer together, because I think ultimately the point of training is, you know, to go through the training program to become the best GP that you can be. And you know, that's certainly kind of how I've been going through the training, and the college, the focus of the college is to say, well, how can we build the best GPs and support them through their careers? So actually the goals are the same, and you know, when if people feel that there's a disconnect sometimes, then I think all that needs to happen is that there needs to be a better way of talking to each other. So if we can be involved in building that communication between trainees and the college, to help people to feel like they're being prepared to be the best GPs that they can be and be supported by the college for the rest of their career, I think that if we can have a small part in building that communication, that would be great. So that's kind of where I feel like I'll focus my time in the next 6 months. How about you, Julia?
Yeah, Julia, how about you?
Yes, so I'd agree with all of that, Harry. I think I would love to see a tangible difference in the coming years in terms of the membership retention post-CCT. Now, obviously, there's no way that we can take credit for all of that work, because it definitely isn't. But to know that we have at least contributed some improvement in that would be such a delight, because you know, a lot of that's going on in the background now, and we're really inputting, you know, ideas and steer in terms of what the college can do to really reduce that that departure of membership post-CCT. And one of the key, I guess, areas that we're sort of pushing for trainees to try and sort of, you know, kind of gain some tangible wins in improving that training experience and that relationship between the RCGP and the trainee, is by really pushing the college to think about how to celebrate training or trainee achievement better. So we've suggested implementing, for example, prizes, awards to celebrate a diversity of training achievements, so not just maybe academic or how well you've done on the exams, which already exist, but other things like, oh, you know, this is a training that's doing amazing things in the health inequality space or amazing things in the sustainability space. How can we, you know, really celebrate those achievements? So it would be great to see that, to be able to be involved in the next 6 months in the college putting that in place. So that's one tangible goal. The other is something that we've been pushing for is to have maybe more of a flexible option for exam fee payments, for example. Now, I'm not making any promises here, but this is definitely something that we're trying to highlight as a potential, improvement in addressing exam fees for trainees, just giving them the option maybe of being able to cover those payments in a more flexible manner. We know that, some trainees do face genuinely financial difficulties, and it's important for the college to be aware of that and aware of the reality, particularly for trainees who also have additional costs maybe in training, such as visa renewal costs that are really high. And we know that, we're all as a society, as a country, facing financial challenges at the moment, cost of living crisis, etc. So just, having a college that's mindful and adaptable in that sense, I think would show, real empathy and understanding of the training experience. So yeah, I'd say those two things would be amazing. And then the third thing, it's not really a goal per se, but I'm really looking forward to attending the RCGP conference this year, because it's going to be our first time. So absolutely looking forward to making the most of that, hoping that it will be an opportunity for us to really host a space where we can interact, network with lots of trainees across the four nations, and to really feel like we can get some face-to-face time together with trainees from everywhere. So that would be
everywhere,
that would be fantastic.
Everywhere internationally, because Wonka are also joining the conference this year. It's going to be, they're coming to London. It's going to be do not miss out, because, the chance to meet other GP trainees internationally, find out how training is going in different countries, how GP trainees are experiencing training across the world, how can we learn from each other and build up practice internationally. This is, I'm really, really excited about this summer. And I think if trainees are, thinking, is this the year that I go to train? If this is the year, I think this is the year that you should go. If you can make it for a day, if you can make it for the whole thing, fantastic. Mm. But I would really recommend, because we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and love that an RCGP conference / Wonka plug for 2022. I fully agree. I think I've been to a conference before, and it's been a really great time to learn about different topics and what's going on in the world of primary care, but actually just to meet each other that's not on Zoom and share the ideas. And a lot of the things that you guys said that you're looking forward to for the next 5 months is so relevant, better dialogue, understanding lived experiences, financial hardships, thinking about what it means to be a member now as a trainee, because we have to, or is it actually because we want to, because we feel that we can bring something meaningful to primary care and shape what's going to happen in the future. So I'm really looking forward to chatting to you guys about that more at the conference, but also again, when we come into a few months down the line, and maybe toward nearer to the end of your terms as AIT chairs, but obviously a lot more what you guys will be involved with the college, I'm sure, longer than that. But thank you so much for taking the time to chat to me today. I appreciate that it's really late in the evening, but I'm glad that your almost 2-year-old, as Julius told me, had stayed in bed all the time. So that's really, really great to hear. But again, thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you.
No, thank you so much, Mira. It's a pleasure as always.
I must say, I've really missed collaborating with my co-hosts on this one, but I hope you've all really enjoyed listening to Julia and Harry about their role and what it's entailed over the last 6 months, but also what they're hoping to look at for the rest of their tenure, but also ahead of that as well. Needless to say, and we've said it a million times before, it's a tough time in primary care, but also a really exciting one. And there are lots of opportunities for people around who want to get involved with these sides of things. So as Julia and Harry said, if you're interested, get in touch with them. If you've got ideas, get in touch with them. I guess the theme of the week is have a voice for yourself, but also for your VTS and regionally and nationally and all of those sorts of good things. So I'll just finish by saying thank you for listening, and we look forward for you joining us again for another excellent episode of Somewhere in Between. Bye.
Thank you so much. That was great. Are you guys happy?
That was all right.
Happy.
Anything contrary?
Did I?
I don't know.